welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Oh, it didn't like last week's intro, so I made a new one. Hit the file number 6 or 5.
Okay, hold on.
Deep within a bleak and dismal swamp, hidden beneath its murky waters, lies the headquarters of the most sinister villains of all time. A Legion of Doom.
Gosh, this is terrible. Will the world have to live in eternal night? What will happen to sunflowers and their seeds? Will we have to have owls for pets?
There's only one person who can help us.
Hello, boys! I'm back!
I feel good!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Really?
Boy, really? You are fussy. What? Fine. Go with the old talky one.
We already did. I said you're at the other end of the series of Tubes and Wires, which is a reference to an old politician in Alaska who said the internet isn't just tubes and wires. It's not like the back of a truck.
Oh.
And then internets, which is a reference to George W. Bush back. Remember those fond days when we thought George W. Bush was the worst president we could have? Memories.
Memories. Well, I figure we're going to do something exciting, and I'm going to do the Bird Box Challenge for this podcast.
Oh, so you're going to pretend that you're Sandra Bullock?
No, I've got a restraining order. No, I'm going to do this entire podcast blindfolded.
I have not seen Bird Box yet.
I'll tell you something about it.
I hear it's good.
One of the big things is that in order to get free, they have to be blindfolded for the entire pod. Otherwise, the monster will get that.
Now we know why Netflix says not to do that.
Where I dropped the microphone. I guess I can't do it. See, what's happened as part of the Bird Box thing is they have to go through and to get away from the monster, they have to be blindfolded. And so people are doing the Bird Box Challenge, where they're doing various everyday activities blindfolded. However, as you know, we are pretty much a jackass nation, so people are doing wildly inappropriate things blindfolded. Like one guy was
driving his car,
a scooter, blindfolded with his kid, and they end up smacking into drywall. And it got to the point where Netflix had to actually put out a warning saying, hey, we appreciate your enthusiasm. You should not be doing this and harming yourself. Please stop.
And the reason they don't want you harming yourself is because, well, they need you around so that they make money off their stuff.
They do.
You got to pay every month.
Yes. That's kind of like us. We appreciate it that you choose to listen to us week after week.
Wait, they're not paying us.
Well, maybe these guys are our sponsors.
The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network has ads. And our ads are, first, for the best web host in the whole known universe, go to DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. And we have been using it since 1999, so we're old. But also, if you need a web host, just head on over and use the code KRAYZ and get $20 off your first year. And when you're at work or you're at home, do you really want to eat those unhealthy snacks? Another bag of chips from the vending machine? No, you want to go over to Graze.com and get healthy snacks sent to you automatically with a subscription, or you can order whatever snacks you like. Just go to Graze.com. Your first and fifth box are free if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Free snacks, healthy snacks, and the best way to keep away from the vending machine. If you would like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or any of the other podcasts, you can just send an email to solitarerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject to advertising. Thanks.
Oh, you're right. They are.
You can never tell when we're going to slip that in.
You never tell when we're going to slip anything in.
No, no, there is
wait,
that.
Wait, let's not say it like that. That could get us in trouble.
Yeah, we're probably going to get in trouble.
We're already in trouble, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. We're always in trouble.
Can I ask you a serious question?
I don't know. Can you?
That's a good question. So, I like that. Have you ever eaten at Mean Gene Okerlund's Burger Chain?
I have not. I did not even know it existed.
I didn't either. I was popping through the interwebs as I want to do, and local good guy Gordon Purcell, he's an artist. He's been an artist everywhere: DC, Marvel, IDW, Image.
The best Star Trek artist ever.
Amen. And he posted on his Facebook page a art for the menu that he did for the Mean Gene chain. It's a picture of Mean Gene in the ring. In his gear, holding a very delicious-looking hamburger with a number of scary-looking animals around him, you know, cartoon-type animals, a duck, a powerful squirrel, and a cocky-looking rabbit. So, and I didn't even know he had the franchise. I mean, I think I was vaguely aware of it, but I think the closest location to me would have been Southdale, which for me in the 70s, 80s, might as well have been on the other side of the universe. Because, you know, I didn't have a car, and if I couldn't get there by bus, it didn't exist. So.
And I've been to Southdale, and it's not all that exciting. I understand, by the way, Southdale first all enclosed mall, correct?
Yep, you are correct. And I've been to Southdale. I've been to all the Dales, and I remember going to Southdale once. I think there was like a train show going on, you know, where they set up in the common areas and stuff. But that's about it. Just like I never went to Pastamania when Hogan had it. See, we're missing all the fabulous trends.
I'm kind of surprised because we went for the first Nitro.
Oh, yeah.
And we got there early and we went to Pastamania. And what it was, they had different kinds of pasta and different kinds of sauces. And the problem with the pasta was they just kind of kept it in the water all the time. So you got the pasta and it was really soggy. And, you know, they didn't strain it enough, so, you know, they're putting it on the plate, and it's kind of a little watery, and then they put the sauce on, and so you've got this waterlogged pasta, and the watery sauce, and it was just kind of mediocre and bland.
Yeah,
meanwhile, you know, the other pasta place had, like, baked pasta that you would get servings of. So it's like, well, let's see, do I want to give Hulk Hogan my money for something that's really tastes like nothing, or do I want to go over here and have some baked ziti? I'd rather go over to Long John Silver's and eat hush puppies. So that's, I think, what happened with Pastamania was it just there were two things that killed Pastamania. First,
and it's weird because if you've ever been at the Mall of America, they had the corner spot, so the logo was broadcast out over. At the time, was it Camp Snoopy? Yes. I don't think it was Nickelodeon Universe yet. Yep, so, I mean, you could see it. And it was in Hogan's traditional yellow and red.
I think there were two things that, well, there were a number of things that killed it. First was it was mediocre. But, you know, it's a touristy place, so maybe. Second thing was Hulk Hogan turned heel. So it's not like, oh, I want to go eat the bad guy's food.
Yeah,
they did not change it to the black and white NWO Hogan, by the way. And the third thing was that he got accused of sexually harassing the teenage girls who worked there. And yeah. That's why whenever Nitro would come to Minneapolis, Hogan was sick that week because he didn't want to get served with papers when he came into the state.
Which I always thought was odd because I do recall seeing him at the airport.
Oh, he would fly through, but he would not stay.
Oh, okay. So yeah, no biggie. Yeah, I mean, I do, but of course that was afterwards too. I mean, that was that might have been after everything was settled or ignored or whatever. So, because I was surprised to see him, and I didn't approach him. I just kind of flexed and, questioned, "Is that you?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "I just gave him a thumbs up," you know, which is really dumb because I should have probably just walked up to him and asked for an autograph. And
although,
this was before cell phones, so, you know, selfies weren't really big.
I do want to point out, there's a controversy raging now because a WWE superstar, Paige, was on her way to the restroom, and a fan asked if she could get a picture, and Paige said, "I'm sorry, I really have to get to the bathroom." And the fan has gone out into the social media saying, "Paige didn't pose for a selfie with me, and we pay her salary," and pretty much everybody in the WWE has kind of come down on this woman saying, "Look, you don't pay our salaries. We're happy to do poses and stuff, but quit bothering us in the bathroom and while we're eating." And I was listening to a podcast with a wrestler who was Bully Ray. And he was talking about most of the time he's just happy to do it. But there are times when, you know, you've been on a flight from Japan and you've been on the plane for 18 hours and you weren't able to sleep and you just want to get home. And you get these people who run up with 8x10 pictures who want to, you know, they're going to sell it on eBay. And he just, you know, he's sick of it. And I've always had the same thing. I've never asked a celebrity or even a comic creator or anything like that for a selfie.
Selfie. Yep.
I have gone up to the table and asked for autographs. But most of the time I just go up to the table and thank them for what they've done. Or if I see them outside, like Steve Englehart. He was having a conversation. I waited very patiently, and I said, "I'll really geek out tomorrow at your table, but right now I just want to thank you for all the stories. I read them when I was a teenager, and really loved your stuff. I even liked your novels when I could find them." He was, oh, thanks. And then at the table the next day, I went up to get the autograph, and I was like, "Oh, my God!" So just kind of be a human being when you meet people. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
I love your story because you didn't go up. You didn't bother him. You just kind of, "Hey, thank you. Cool."
Well, yeah, we saw Stone Cold, too, once, and he was in line getting ready. And this was the year he was out with the neck injury. And we just kind of went by and gave him a nod. And he kind of looked, I think, more apprehensive. Not because of the fact that we said hi or anything, but probably just because, you know, he's running through the airport. And this was like when TSA had just showed up. So he was probably more nervous about what the hell we were going to do rather than the fact that he was running through the airport. But just wave, you know, say. And again, you know, had I had more balls, I probably would have gone up and, you know, asked for a quick autograph. Not necessarily a selfie. But I can make a podcast of celebrities and people I've spotted at the airport. And there have been people. I mean, when TSA first started, they were real. "Oh, don't bother celebrities. Treat them like everyone else. Don't be good." But there have been people who have gone out and they've gotten autographs. They've gotten selfies. I think I told you the story about when Eric Estrada came through an airport I was working at in Denver. And just the nicest guy. Talked to everybody, took selfies. And, you know, I think it depends on the management at the airport, whether they're being hardcore or not. And also if you're being obnoxious.
Right.
I mean, in the middle of the screening and a pat-down, it's probably not a good time to take a selfie.
What's this in your pocket? And can I get a picture?
Yeah.
Now, I guess there was somebody who had a blog for the TSA, kind of showing the fun side of the TSA, who passed away. But I didn't get the name. But I was reading something
Blogger
about
Bob.
Blogger Bob.
Yep.
But that's not why we're here.
No. I was going to ask because, first of all, this is the first podcast of the new year. And I was going to, well, first start off, how did you spend your New Year's, Mr. Strode?
I had New Year's Eve off.
Did you do what you threatened to do every year? Take a dump from the 31st to the 1st so you can have the same shit different year?
No.
Oh.
I actually, when I got home, I changed clothes, went to the gym, did my cardio, got my 10,000 steps. Because that's important. And right next to my gym is a Papa Murphy's. Now, Joe, do you know the Papa Murphy's?
Is that the place where you buy it, or is that Papa John's, where you buy it and bring it home?
Papa Murphy's is take and bake. I won't ever buy from Papa John's because, A, their pizza is just awful. It's just awful. I would make better pizza if I took Wonder Bread, put ketchup, and a slice of American cheese on it.
American cheese.
But stopped and got me a pizza there, and came home, shoved that in the oven, turned on the TV, and I watched the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 special from San Francisco, a five-hour broadcast that was on Access TV that I had not had time to watch. And that is how I spent my New Year's Eve, watching pro wrestling from, well, a Japanese promotion in San Francisco at the Cow Palace. Great show, just a great show. You had Haku's kids, and Haku was in the ring. And I loved the fact that they had Haku in the ring because, first off, they turned heel against the Bullet Club. And second, I guess, you know, because of the big Samoa thing at the Cow Palace, there's a big history of the Samoans at the Cow Palace, to the point where you hear the old wrestlers say, Samoans always win at the Cow Palace. Why? Because the Samoans buy all the cheap seats. If they don't win, they come down.
Quiet!
They come down. But it was good to see Haku, who we've all heard is the toughest man in wrestling. Legit.
Yes.
And went to bed around 1 in the morning. By the way, I did my New Year's Eve countdown with my Amazon Echo. So I asked Alexa, you know, to do the countdown, and at 10 seconds to midnight, Alexa did the countdown and sang Auld Lang Syne. And when I said, Alexa, can you count down when it's New Year's Eve? The Alexa said, of course, I'm happy to spend New Year's Eve with you. So,
folks, we've got to get Corey out of the house.
So I think Alexa and I, we got a little thing going.
I think it's time to re-auction you on eBay.
And I slept in that morning. And then I woke up just kind of lazed around the house for New Year's Day, which I think is what you should do.
Yes. And I agree, because usually Christmas, at least for me, because all my family's in town and we're constantly running to visit everybody. And, you know, I mean, it's mellowed now because, you know, as family passes away, it's not like, okay, I got to go to Chris's and then I got to go to my grandma's and then I got to go to my mom's side of the family, my dad's side of the family. And then, of course, my cousin has an opening. And then, of course, we had our own family one. Now it's down to 3. God knows any work things. I always looked forward to New Year's because that was the day, like you said, you could just stay home and veg. We had a quiet one, as we're wont to do, because, hey, you know, I'm 53. We invited some friends over. We actually played a game, and I'll be damned if I can remember the name of it. Let me see if I can find it. I posted a picture on the old Facebook. Let's see. It was called Quirkle, which is kind of like if Scrabble and Domino's had a baby. And I did not play, although I watched my wife and our friends play. I did get a chance, another friend, we kind of geeked out a bit because I was showing him, you know, the different essentials, and he's big on Hot Wheels. And so we kind of looked through my Hot Wheel collection and things like that. And we sat and we watched a couple movies. First one is one I think he's been dying to watch, Operation Petticoat.
Oh, yes.
Cary Grant, Tony Curtis, directed by Blake Edwards. I don't remember the year of it. Or 1959. And kind of a world. You were asking earlier on Facebook whether or not you should. watch worry about World War II tales. Well, here, you got one for you right here. Right here.
Not only that, did you watch the Operation Petticoat TV series?
I am sad to say I did try. The first season, I believe, John Austin was the chief.
That's
and then the second
right.
season, Randy, the man, the myth, the man tooth, was the chief. And it was largely unforgettable. Of course, the other problem, if I recall right, is it was being broadcast against Dukes of Hazzard on Friday night, which was pretty much a death knell for anything. I recall a few episodes, like there was one where they actually got a hold of some gray paint and they painted the sub that was pink. They painted it gray, and then Naval Command got a hold of it and they said, well, if they were not authorized to steal that paint, we're going to court-martial them. Well, unfortunately, they used inside paint, not outside paint. So the gray washed off when they surfaced to get chewed out, and the sub was pink again. Randy Mantooth, I only remember a couple of the ads. I'm sure it's on the YouTubes if you really want to poison yourself. Otherwise, go check. I find this movie, it was hilarious.
It was a great movie.
Absolutely. It was fun. The second movie we watched, I could not find my DVD of it, but we gave Amazon $2.99. What's Up, Doc? Barbara Streisand, Ryan O'Neill comedy, I believe 72, 73. Another comedy that just, I remember watching it in high school. We're talking, this is in the 80s. And my friend's parents had it on a RCA disc recorder, which was basically kind of a failed technology because it was a fight between VHS and then Laserdisc came out. And this was one that got squeezed in between. It was actually, you physically put the disc in, the package into the thing, pull it out. It was a physical disc, kind of like a phonograph record, and then a little needle would go on it and play. Obviously, Laserdisc was superior, but both of them died off when DVDs started kicking up. And that was the first time I saw it. Absolutely hilarious. I remember once when Dana was growing up, my daughter, she was going through that goth phase. I don't know if your critter ever went through that, where my wife was real worried because she was into the dark things and she was wearing dark makeup. And I said, don't worry, I'll take care of her. Sat down, had her watch What's Up, Doc, which is probably the lightest comedy you could probably have. I mean, remember, this is rated G. Operation Petticoat was before ratings. A lot of innuendos, but nothing over the top. And Dana laughed so hard at What's Up, Doc. I told my wife, don't worry about it. She's fine. Same thing with my friends. They had never seen it before, and they absolutely howled at it. And I had more fun watching their reaction than I did actually watching the movie. So, and we were up late. We set the alarm. We paused the movie. I had my first alcohol since my whole hip thing started, just a little bit of champagne. And I think we finished up probably about 12:30 because a couple of them had to get up and work the next day. And next day we just slept in late and just kind of I don't remember. I think was it Tuesday? I know we went to Target just for one of the days just because what do we do? Let's go to Target for the hell of it. Yeah, just kind of a low-key day. What I thought, though, because it was a new year, that maybe we could visit the books, the comic titles that we collect monthly. Because I know we don't really talk too much about those because we really spend a lot of time with the new stuff and things that are coming that we're excited about. And then we'll talk about Box Day and things that but we never really talk a lot about just the monthly titles we do. And they kind of just go unsung. I mean, occasionally we mention them. So I figured maybe just a yearly tradition, would you say, what titles are you buying monthly that we just don't talk a lot about because we just enjoy them and, you know, unless something crazy happens in them, we just don't talk about it. And now I figure we could limit it, maybe do it the way we do our previews, just kind of go through the companies. There are things that I'll give you an example, like Dark Horse probably doesn't have a lot because I don't think they have a lot of ongoing titles. But when they do Gru, or they'll do a couple of miniseries, or a Hellboy comes out, I mean, we'll pick those up. So I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for things we collect, like in graphic novels, for example. last month's previews had American Gods hardcover volume 2, which is how I'm reading American Gods. I'm just, what I want to talk about are like just monthly titles from, I guess, any of the companies that we just buy every month. Kind of the unsung heroes, the ones that keep us going, that get our hard cash taken out of our wallets and onto hopefully better things.
All right. Who's going to go first?
Well, again, this is one of those things. If we take it the way previews drops, I'll go with Image. There's only two titles, monthly titles, that come out that I buy. And the first one, of course, is Savage Dragon from Eric Larson. I've blabbed about this one in the past. I've been with it since issue one. I think it's great that he is the only Image creator that is still with his creation. It's his. That's all he wants to do. I mean, he does a lot of side projects with it.
Todd McFarlane still does. He doesn't draw, but he still is the writer/plotter Spawn.
He came back.
Right.
For a while, he wasn't. But that's what I mean. Eric Larson is the man. He's the only one that's just done it nonstop. Again, you know, Todd revisits, and I'm sure some of the other guys come back. But, you know, it's like I was talking with someone about Deathmate, because why it will never, ever be reprinted. Because just think about it. You got Magnus, Solar, Turok are not – they weren't Valiant properties. They're owned by – who owns those? Gold Key?
Gold Key, where are they? I know that, Dark Horse tried doing something with them, and that didn't do.
So did Dynamite, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Dynamite tried something recently, and I think those properties are pretty much just, you know, wrung out.
Yeah, and they're not owned by anybody. Image titles, I mean, look at, all of Wildstorm properties are now owned by DC, because Jim Lee sold his studio. The other ones are still around, but you'd have to negotiate with all those guys. And the Valiant properties, of course, are being published in the Valiant universe. So I don't even know. I mean, their own title. So it's kind of like it's one of those things that will never, ever be able to be reprinted. So if you want to buy it, go find yourself a couple quarter boxes, because that's pretty much where you'll find them on the eBays. Or like what I did, as I sold my last set a while back. So... those are pretty much the only... Oh, the other one from Image, I mentioned Savage Dragon, Oblivion Song, the new one from... I can't think of it. The Walking Dead guy. What's his name?
Kirkman. Robert Kirkman.
Thank you. Robert. I can't think of his first name. Robert Kirkman. And that one I've been enjoying monthly. I wasn't sure if I would wait and pick it up as a book, but I've actually enjoyed the monthly series. And it's been coming out monthly, which is always a big thing. A lot of Image titles, Saga, I'm looking at you, they work and then they stop and they have a break and then they come back and do another season. I mean, there's tons of Image titles that I love, but they're not. I can't consider them all monthly. Anything from Image that you pick up that's that could be considered monthly?
Walking Dead. I still pick up The Walking Dead. I still enjoy it. And I enjoy it as a comic, rather than the trade paperbacks. I know it mostly sells in trade paperbacks, but in the comic, you get a really good letters page. They've had a really good letters page since day one. Usually 4 to 5 pages of letters with fun replies. And then there's usually like a preview of another comic in the back. Lately, they've been doing stuff that's already in print, such as Outpost 1. Is it Outpost 1 or Outpost 0? I need to take a look. Oh, it's Outpost 0. They reprinted most of the first issue of Outpost 0, and it got me hooked. So I went and I picked up Outpost 0. And that's what I like those previews for that they put in the back. And it's a great idea. Hey, this is our best-selling book. Let's put other comics in it. Because Walking Dead's going to be $3.99, even though it's black and white. So why not give people something extra in the back? It helps ameliorate the cost, so people won't go, oh, I'm paying $4 for a black and white book. Well, no, you're paying $4 for part of a black and white book and then another, you know, usually a comic or a comic and a half. And the other thing is it opens up those lower selling books like Outpost Zero to an audience of 60, 70,000 people. A lot of the other stuff Image does, I buy as books because that's how the creators do them. I'm reading Lazarus right now, which was by Greg Rucka and Michael Lark. And it was a monthly series, but you could tell each story arc was going to be a trade paperback. Same with Mage. I love Mage, but boy, it's going to be a lot better in that nice, big, thick hardcover. Even Outpost Zero. As I'm reading it, the guy who writes it, you could tell it's going to be six-issue arcs that'll be put into a trade, either five or six-issue arcs, because that's just how Image does. So really, the only comic I pick up that would be considered a monthly is Walking Dead.
Now, after that,
Dark Horse, I also don't get anything that comes out as a monthly comic. Even the stuff that is, you know, kind of a monthly comic is put out as miniseries, so I'll just buy it as books.
And of all the other publishers, there's only one that has a monthly book that I am picking up. And I kind of keened on it last time. IDW Marvel Age Spider-Man. I ignored it the first time around, but I ended up picking up a copy of it, and I absolutely loved it. And I've got to make sure to pick up 2 and 3. I'll send a quick note or just probably pick them up at the source. I don't know if I'm going to pick up the other ones. I might, but definitely as long as that's a monthly one, I'll be picking that one up. Everything else is a miniseries. You know, Dynamite's got Army of Darkness, Bubba Ho Temp, and that classic Battlestar Galactica. IDW's got the new one, Star Wars Q, which is a six-issue miniseries, and then, of course, the end of Batman Max. So I always pick up things like that. I don't have any of the – I'm just looking at all the other publishers, as long as we're just kind of miscellaneous that. Knights of the Dinner Table from Kinzer Publishing. We both raved about that in the past, where it's a strip about gaming, about how they interact, about the game itself, and the world they inhabit, plus tons of articles on gaming. And they've actually been banging out a pretty much monthly title. Next closest to that would be Keiju Max from Oni. But again, he tends to do series. He'll do six issues, season one, season two. But they come out fairly quick. And then, of course, Archie. The main Archie titles still bang him out once a month. Everything else is irregular or new or like back issues. It may come out this month. It may come out the following month. Any miscellaneous titles out of any other publishers? I mean, obviously, we get to Marvel DC. We're going to hit the main group.
From IDW, I still pick up Haunted Horror and Weird Love. They're not coming out as often as they used to, probably because they're running out of decent public domain material that hasn't been reprinted a bunch of times. But I bought those as regular comics. From Boom, I get Lumberjanes, which is an all-ages comic that is just wonderful. I could not enjoy that book more. Boom's probably pretty glad they got that because everything else that they have, well, they're partly owned by Fox, so they're going to be putting out the Fox stuff. And really, they don't have much that's could be considered theirs. It's kind of like Dynamite anymore, where all Dynamite does is license books. They don't really have any properties that they are theirs. Again, I pick up the Knights of the Dinner Table, which is more of a magazine in a comic book size. I would say half of it is the strips of the gamers. And they've really built this huge world of different gaming groups and how they interact and the game publishers and the gaming shops. And I imagine that if they one day sat down and wrote down, all right, here's all the characters who show up on a regular basis, it'd be as big as the cast of the X-Men. because that's what happens when you do a comic like that. It grows over time. Oh, we're going to have them interact with another group. Well, people are interested in that other group. And, okay, we've got jokes about the publishers. Let's bring the publisher in. I pick up the Cerebus book every month. Dave can't draw anymore. What he's doing is basically taking classic art, usually from Dante's Inferno, because Cerebus is dead and in hell, and put Cerebus in it and does, you know, 4-panel strips. And I like Dave Sims' work. Don't care for him as a person. The more I read about what he's been up to the past few years, less I want to hear about it. So anymore when it's, did you hear that Dave Sim? Yeah, I'm not going to, no. No, not going to, don't want anything to do with that. Archie, I like the Mark Waid run and now the Nick Spencer run. So I'm picking that up. And really for monthly titles, that's about it for those.
Cool.
And now to
the big guys. You know, the one thing that I don't like about Marvel and DC is when they put their stuff in the catalog, they don't do it alphabetically. I'm an alphabet guy.
Actually, DC puts it in alphabetically in a way that kind of bothers me, because it's, okay, here's a kid's book next to a Vertigo book next to a book, like to the...
Yeah, they always have this stuff in the beginning. I mean, I'm looking at the Marvel list and the DC list, and it's really kind of weird. Now, I'm assuming for the most part, a lot of these books we've either talked about or people are going to know. So we probably don't need to talk much about it. For example, the first DC book I have, probably tied with the second, is Action Comics, as well as the Superman comic. I picked it up mostly because Brian Michael Bendis is involved. So far, I've been fairly underwhelmed, but I'm also willing to just sit back and let him run for a while. It was kind of the same way even back when John Byrne did it. You know, oh, John Byrne's doing Superman! And he started doing it, and you were kind of like, this is all you got? And just let him roll through the paces. You know, I guess I was expecting more of a wham-bam the way the Avengers started. Well, ended and started. But, you know, he's dealing with the continuity. Much as I hate the idea that Superman has a super kid, I do enjoy the Super Sons as well. I'm trying to think. See, there's a couple other books that haven't come out yet. I mean, Green Lantern by Grant Morrison, which I've only got issue one. I picked it up at the source just because I saw it and I didn't wait. And I enjoyed that. Just want to another one where I'm willing to just sit back and see where it goes, because I've not been disappointed by what Grant Morrison has ever done. There's a few that are coming out that I don't have yet. Shazam, Young Justice. And
yeah,
the other
I'm
one,
excited about Young Justice. The more I see a Patrick Leeson's art, the more I'm really getting excited.
Yeah, local. And Bendis is writing it again. Yeah. And then, of course, the ones that I talked about in the past, I'm still on board for the Vertigo Dreaming titles. Book of Magic, Dreaming, House of Whisper, and Lucifer. I'm definitely going to pick House of Whisper and Lucifer as the weakest for me of the two. Dreaming and Books of Magic. Again, there's only been one or two issues, and I'll definitely stick through issue six. So... that's pretty much it for me, DC, month-to-month wise. How about you, Mr. Strode? What titles do you pick up that are monthly?
I don't pick up any of the regular books monthly. I've gone exclusively trades, except for the Walmart books. Now, I picked up the first couple thinking, oh, this is a fun experiment. Now I really like them. I like the format a lot. I've always liked that format. It's a format that's been tried before. Now it's the 100-page giants and everything. But Marvel tried a reprint series like that in the early 90s, and I honestly think I'm the only person who bought it. Because it was, okay, we're going to reprint Byrne's Fantastic Four, Miller's Daredevil. I forget what the other ones were. But it was, you know, four of these huge previous runs, and it only lasted like 5 or 6 issues. But I'm really liking the DC 100 pagers. The first story is a 12-page story. The Superman story by Tom King is phenomenal. Utterly phenomenal. The man gets Superman. As much as I like what Bendis did in Man of Steel and the other stuff, oh, I wish they would have just handed Superman to Tom King because it's so good.
Well, now I saw you posted something. Target's getting their own exclusive?
Yes. Target is getting I don't know if it's more than one, but they're getting a book. It's based on the, what is that? It's a toy line. It's a Savage something.
DC or Marvel?
DC. Let me pull it up here.
Excuse him while he whips it out.
Because I actually have it in my Freaking and Geeking that I haven't opened yet.
Oh, and I'm way ahead of you on that one.
Yeah, but I pick up the DC 100 pagers. I don't like going to Walmart, but I go once a month, sometimes twice a month, because I go and it's, well, they should be out. They're not out yet. God damn it. Stupid.
I wasted a term for nothing.
Yes. Usually it's like, fuck, I had to go to Walmart. But I like the reprints they're doing. They're reprinting Hush. They're reprinting the Jim Lee Justice League, the Terrifics, and just some really cool stuff that, because I tapped out on the New 52 so early, I didn't get. And it's $5 for basically 4 comics. We've got creators like Marv Wolfman, Chuck Patton, and Jerry Ordway. I don't know if there will be more than just this one book. And it's taking forever for this to open. There we go. And I didn't write the name. I just wrote Target DC Exclusive. So now I have to look it up. Target DC Exclusive.
He fires up the Strode 2112 computer.
Do, 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 do. Well, it's a 2112 computer.
Corey's taking care of everything. He doesn't have nothing on his screen. We'll just sit and wait and twiddle our thumbs. Thank God he can edit this. He'll get us. Often won't sound like shit. Otherwise, it sound really dumb.
Primal Age.
Primal Age?
Yes, it's a toy line. And this will be a comic that comes out. Right now, the Primal Age toy line is exclusive to Amazon. But the Primal Age comic will be showing up there. And...
yeah, it looks like Funko does it.
Yeah, and we don't know if this is a series or if this is a one-shot or if this is one of a bunch of books. Because remember that when the Walmart exclusive, it was announced after the books had already been shipped to Walmart. And I think part of the reason they did that so that comic shops wouldn't lose their shit. They lost their shit anyway, but still.
I'm looking briefly, went to Amazon, just typed up Primal Age, and I see King Shark, I see Scarecrow, I see a Batman, I see a Batcave playset. So it looks like, yeah, that's probably what they're definitely doing.
But I'm going to have to go to Target, which isn't as bad. Target's on my way to work. But the Walmart books are just a pain in the ass to get. But still, I like them. That's the only DC book that I'm buying not in trade paperback.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll do that someday in the future. We'll talk about books we buy exclusively in the trades.
That's a long one.
Yeah, I know. It's probably longer. Because, I mean, now we're moving over to Marvel, which is the, oddly enough, the last publisher on the list. And I don't have a lot. Again, I buy more probably books. I wasn't around for previews last month because I wasn't hip enough. But I wanted
you
to say.
You were super hip.
I was super hip. I can't even make those bionic noises. No. Anyways, but like with DC, the trades I picked up, I went for the Joker Omnibus. A lot of it's reprints, like New Age or New Teen Titans Volume 10, which may be the last of Prez's run. I don't know. JLA Bronze Age trade I picked up. And then the Promethea 20th Anniversary book, because I have never read that run.
Oh, really?
So I'm hoping they do the entire series that way, because that's how I'll pick it up. And then, of course, they'll do an omnibus, and I'll go, Con! Last month's Marvel, no trade paperbacks from them, which was really weird. But in terms of ongoing issues, Amazing Spider-Man, that may be one I will probably stick with forever, because, again, that was the first title that I ever collected. Oddly enough, I don't have a lot of them, because when the Great Purge happened, that was 2000, the Great Purge of 2017, for you youngins out there, I got rid of almost all the Spider-Men that, because I figured I got them in Omnibus, they're online, Marvel Unlimited, and I could pick them up in Epic if I really want.
And you want to get rid of all the clone stories.
Oddly enough, I almost bit on the clone collection. Some guy was offering that on one of those Facebook groups. But, I even if I do go back to work, I'm not going to get paid. So I'm kind of in clench mode right now in terms of buying things. Other books I buy, I talked about it last week, The Uncanny X-Men. I'll give it a try. I mean, I grew up. That was probably the last Marvel book I picked up. It was right after, actually, it was with The Death of Phoenix. And I was able to go back, pick up everything, or at least read everything, thanks to Pat, from Giant Size One. I was aware of X-Men and who they were. X-Men totally lost me in the 90s. The cross-hatching, the multiple plot lines, the three-issue miniseries, the 300 books. Occasionally, you know, Onslaught, Age of Apocalypse would catch my attention. But even then, when we go back and look at them, like I talked about picking up the X-Force Omnibus on our Black Friday. Oh, that didn't age well. Oof. But I'll give Uncanny X-Men a try. They said they're going to scoop it all down. I read the first three issues. I'm kind of like, okay, it's a start. Let's see where you go with it, because they really are touching on a lot of people here. Now, I don't know, and I don't know if this is a spoiler warning, but maybe, Corey, you can tell me. Have they dealt with the time-lost young X-Men before, Uncanny?
Yes, that was in the miniseries called Extinction.
Okay, Extinction. I may have to pick that up. So don't tell me nothing else. I will go find that either in trade or online, or just, I guess I gotta make a run to the source. Another book I buy, just because it's one that I was exposed to early via those small trade paperbacks, or paperback books, you know, where they reprinted everything, a very small thing. Doctor Strange. I will probably always buy Doctor Strange, just because I always like the different takes on the characters. I have, in omnibus form, the brilliant Ditko, and I put him first because I think even Stan Lee would admit that Ditko was the driving force on that one. Ditko Lee run. After that, I know they went to what, Strange Tales, and then started with Doctor Strange One. I don't know if I have the Strange Tales one. I might have that in. Were they reprinted in the Essentials?
Yes.
All,
yes.
Sorcerer. Scientist Supreme that Doctor Strange was fighting, which made my head kind of twist. I mean, you go from the brilliancy of Ditko Lee to... And then, of course, when Doctor Strange started in, was it 72?
74.
74. I have those, most of those. And I've collected the runs ever since. There's a few places, like when Midnight Suns came out, when they were crossing over into 200 books, that I've kind of lost track of. And I, you know, when I get my collection back in line, I'll have to decide, do I want to go dig for those issues or just know that they're on Marvel Unlimited if I want to read them. But the current Doctor Strange run I liked. Let's see. Immortal Hulk. Oh, man. I am getting chilled beyond belief with this book. It's interesting because I think they're taking... They used to have Hulk was just a dumb green guy, and he was that way for a lot of years. And I think with the advent around issue 300, Now it's like, hey, you got an interesting take on the Hulk. Go for it. And this one is just freaky as all hell. It doesn't matter if you kill Bruce Banner. When the sun goes down, the Hulk's going to come back to life. Bruce is going to come back to life. He's immortal. And it's just the Corey, forget it. I don't even have let me fire up the old Cray 3000 here. And Immortal Hulk. I don't want to shortchange because, I mean, the creator, Al Ewing and Joe Bennett, oh, sweet bejesus, this is just an amazing book. Just, and I think they're only up to, I know I've ordered through issue 13. I don't know what's been published, but I'll stick with this one until it, you know, obviously when their run stops, I imagine they'll stop and start over with another one. I've been enjoying Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Now that, I'm sorry, that sounds like a porn knockoff of Guardians of the Galaxy.
It does, doesn't it? And considering it started out with Angela in it, or Angela in it, you know, it's probably not too far from the truth. But we'll see where, I've enjoyed that. And Guardians of the Galaxy is starting up too. And that's not out yet, but I have that down on my list. The last one, and of course we raved about it coming, Fantastic Four. I've enjoyed the first couple issues. I love the fact that they're playing it up like this is a family. It's not just the four people, and the four people are a family, but they're an extended family now, and I've actually enjoyed that. They are kind of the group that, for lack of better, you know, this is used to be like where the Justice League and the Avengers would be. But the Fantastic Four, they're like scientists, but they're the group that if something really goes wrong, they're going to be the ones that will probably take care of it. And I hope they're on their way to becoming the cornerstone of Marvel the way they used to be. Corey, what monthlies do you pick up from Marvel?
The main monthly that I pick up is Amazing Spider-Man. Nick Spencer has kind of brought the sense of humor he had in Superior Foes of Spider-Man, as well as that cast, into the book. And it's, once again, it's that mix of humor and soap opera that has always been my favorite part of Spider-Man. I know that they're building toward a big story because you kind of have to have a big story. But it's the supporting cast. It's, you know, it's the humor that brings you back to Spider-Man. And anytime I've lost interest in Spider-Man, I can actually point to the fact when they're not using the supporting cast. I know that you love J. Michael Straczynski's run, but for me, by the end, it was, oh, can this please be over? Because the only supporting cast was Aunt May and Mary Jane. Everybody else was gone. We didn't see J. Jonah Jameson for years. We didn't see Harry Osborn. We didn't see Flash Thompson. We didn't see anybody. And now, you know, the supporting cast is back. Dan Slott was really good with the supporting cast. Nick Spencer's not just good with the supporting cast, but he's adding to it. And in a lot of ways, when they did the Ben Reilly thing, I knew it was going to fail because, okay, Ben Reilly's got this new supporting cast, and no one's going to care about him because there's no J. Jonah Jameson. There's no Robbie Robertson. There's none of the people that we know. And pretty much when Dan Jurgens came on the book, that's what he said. I don't want to deal with a bunch of people in a coffee shop. I want the classic cast. On the other Marvel stuff, I buy as trade paperbacks, except for the True Believer reprints.
The True Believer. Oh, I've just been picking those up. They're cheap. They're exposure to titles that I either don't have. For example, my Amazing Spider-Man 300 is long gone in the I pretty much sold it, I think, during the original Hot Comics one, but now I have a copy of it to read. And it's exposing me to a lot of books. I have a feeling I have these books in my essential line.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of them, and some of them I even have that comic. But the printing is so much better, especially on the stuff from the 70s. Because in the 70s, I still remember when they started upgrading the paper, and you had the whiners going, oh, they've upgraded the paper, and that's going to make it cost more, and now comics are a dollar, and yeah, but I can hold it up to the light and not read the back of the page. And in the 70, oh my, by 75, you didn't even have to hold it up to the light. You could look at the page, and you could see what's on the other side. They were using the worst paper possible. Now with these reprints, they're on really nice paper. They're fun to read. They throw in ads for stuff. A lot of cases, they reprint the letters pages and everything. I love the True Believers. When my next box day comes, they've got two of the Conan True Believers in it. And I am looking forward to that almost as much as the new Conan number one.
Yeah, I'm not a big Conan guy. I'm not picking up the Conan that Marvel Weekly series, the Avenger one, just because I guess Conan's going to be in. And I'm like, okay, yes, hold me.
Yeah, Conan becomes an Avenger now.
I know. Get those What If comics up, buddies. You know, those are probably going to pop up in price.
And they did True Believers of those.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun stuff. So, and maybe we'll see Conan fight Angela. It could happen.
Yeah, we'll see it. We won't see Conan fight Red Sonja, though.
No. Well, you never know. I mean, Red Sonja came back to hang out with Spider-Man in a 6-issue series, so they might. It could happen. It could happen.
Well, we'll see. And if the sales over at Dynamite don't perk up, Marvel may be able to come in and go, yeah, we want Red Sonja back. And they'll go, fine, we're paying too much for the license.
The number one monthly book that Corey and I can't do without, hell, we make a whole podcast show out of it, is Previews. And I don't know if anybody out there does Previews, but it's really one of the best resources to use because it pretty much shows you almost everything that's coming out, at least from the main publishers. And oftentimes I get more excited buying stuff through Previews than I do when the stuff actually shows up. Huh, go figure.
Me too. I love Previews, and I really like the DC and Marvel add-on magazines. At first, I didn't, because it was like, ugh.
More refuse.
But I like that they give each book its own page, and for some of them, they say, okay, here's some sample art. It's why I really like Image Plus, even though it usually comes out a week or two after Previews. Because it's, okay, here's an interview with the creator, here's some sample pages, here's what the book's about. It really gets you hyped up and excited about what the book's going to be, much more than here's the cover.
Yeah. Well, and it has some good articles in there if you want to look at them. They have a feature, they have their own strip. So it's a resource as much as anything else. The question I have for you, Mr. Strode, what do you do with your own Previews?
Because they're so big, I just throw them away. Well, I recycle them, but, you know,
yeah,
they're so big. I know that there are some people who actually collect them, and I went to a comic shop that had Previews going back, like, 10 years, and it's like, oh, my God, there's no, there's no way.
Yeah,
all
it's
the information
cool
is available
resource
online.
But, yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot. So anything else? Any new podcasts coming out that you support?
Well, there are all of these. The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network is filled with all kinds of audio goodness. First, there's Crazy Comics and Stories. It's been going since 2010. It drops every Monday, and it has me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard, and Joe Crazy Writer talking comics, shenanigans, and whatever we're freaking and geeking about. Every Monday morning, it's been going since 2010, and it's available at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. Also on that same feed is the Solitaire Rose Podcast, which is me, again, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard, doing interviews, talking about comics, talking about comics history, pretty much talking about whatever I want to talk about. We've also got Solo Joe, where Joe Crazy Writer does a solo podcast. and he hasn't done one in a while, so kick him in the shins to get him started. We also, on that same feed, have Solitaire Rose Series and Review, where we do DVD commentary of older comic book series. That's all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. I also do a podcast with Wolfie B. Bad at badadvice.solitairerose.com, where we take listener questions and give them bad advice. There's also Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. There's also Fantastic Forecast, where myself and Adam Vermillion are going through the entire run of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time. That's fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. And if you think that I'm on all of these podcasts, you're wrong, because Scrabbling Across the West is at scrabbling.solitairerose.com, where musician Dave Coffell and his wife Stephanie travel across America and then sitting down to play Scrabble and talk about the day. That's at Scrabbling Across the West, scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There are always more podcasts at the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network. Be there. Aloha.
And who knows? Folks,
by the way, don't be, I'm not going to be this agreeable most of the year. I just figure for first of the year, I'll lull Corey into a false sense of security. But mum's a word.
Oh, Lord. You know, the problem is with you taking a month off, it shows that you can be replaced.
True.
Who knows? Maybe I could go get another raccoon.
No. We have several people. Our good friend Stephanie Coffell is one of them, who will absolutely kill you before we let you go down that path again.
No more raccoons?
No. Go find something friendly, cuddly, like a hippopotamus.
Well, I would get a squirrel, but Professor Elemental is in a long war with squirrels, and you can go out to his YouTube page and watch his new video called Squirrel, which is one of the funnier damn things I've seen.
Squirrel!
Well, and it's all puppets. And that's all I'm going to tell you. Joe!
Don't tell Wolfie that.
I prefer the Professor Elemental puppet because he's not trying to crawl up my leg.
Your leg.
No. This is Joe's favorite part of the show. No, not where we give him a big old box of kettle corn and have him eat it on the air. It's Joe! What's going on the eBays?
I spent the better part of a day going through everything on my eBays. Most of it was, you know, just inventory check, but I've also noticed a few sneaky guys go in and try to undercut me.
How dare they not stand.
So I went through and pretty much either repriced everything. And I can tell you, almost everything had a $4 price cut. And you know why?
And why is that?
I switched a lot of my things to free shipping because I figured that was probably the easiest way to do it. And it seems to be the buzzword for everybody, free shipping, even though, you know, shipping is just part of the cost of the book, you know. And there were a few things that the price got so cheap that I figured, you know what, I'm just going to blow it out at a dollar book or donate it to the MCBA charity store, which I'll be pimping later on this year. So if you haven't looked lately, you might want to take a second gander. I've also added a few things, although there is one thing I got to say, it didn't last. Now we'll kind of ask the Strode a little bit on this one. The first one's a gimme. The second one's did you know? Okay, Corey, what is the significance of Thor 337?
That's the first Walt Simonson issue.
And?
The first appearance of Beta Ray Bill.
Okay, do you know what that sumbitch is priced right now?
A couple $100.
Exactly. I sold mine, which is a very fine Nearman copy, and again, I was lowballing everybody, for $50. I put it on the eBays yesterday. I was going to talk about it. Sold. It's already in the mail. So you had your chance. You guys got to watch out for those first appearances, especially ones in the 80s and 90s, you know, where most of the books are Drek and probably nobody cares about. Well, hey, even into the 2000s, I keep forgetting it's been a whole decade or more since I had me first comic store. And look out for those first appearances because they'll sneak up and disappear. Look at the Avenging Spider-Man 10 with the first time Carol Danvers, who's been around since the 70s, called herself Captain Marvel. And the Edge of the Spider-Verse 2, the first Spider-Woman. Well, no, that was the fourth Spider-Woman. Fondly referred to as Spider-Gwen, another $200 book. Heck, even number 5 of the Edge of Spider-Verse is the first Penny Parker. So those first appearances have gone up, and they go up fast, which makes it tough because there's sometimes, well, like we talked about the 75th anniversary Marvel's comic special, nobody cared about.
I did.
Until Stan Lee passed away. And then they discovered that was the first time his first story had been illustrated, which was kind of the last work he probably will be published.
Yep, that's the last comic work he did.
And it went ballistic. It's kind of coming down, but you know, things like that, you just got to keep your eye on, especially firsts. There are a few comics, though, that sold. And let's see, Corey, have you ever heard of the Vertigo series Clean Room?
Yes. That's Gail Simone, right?
Yep. And John Davis Hunt doing the art. It's, let's see, blah, 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 blah. Something in Astrid Mueller's book. Astrid Mueller in the series is a compelling guru, kind of a self-help organization, a very, very powerful figure. And the protagonist, Chloe Pierce, who's a journalist, her fiancé picked up the book, and he blew his brains out all over Chloe's new kitchen. And she's on a mission to find out who Astrid Mueller is, what is the clean room she's been hearing about where your deepest fear and worst moments are revealed, and she wants to inverse herself in it and wreak havoc on Astrid's empire. As far as I can tell, I don't know if this is ongoing. Looks like 18 issues have been published, 3 books. It may be finished. I don't know. But my daughter decided to buy it in trades, gave me the first 5 issues, and so I sold them for her. Corey, and tell me if I'm pronouncing this right. Deja Thoris?
Deja Thoris.
Yes. I had one of the naughty covers, ooh, of her. It was the black and white J. Scott Campbell cover, donated by one of the fans, and I sold it on behalf of the MCBA for their charity store. So that one was kind of nice. So that one, and the last one I'll talk about, because one of the things I like about the eBays is a chance to again talk about series that are in the past, or just fun things that I've discovered. For example, Corey, did you ever read Death of Zorro? Was it Lone Ranger Zorro? Death of Zorro?
I have not read that yet.
Keep an eye on issue 3 when you buy it, because somebody sent me an interesting question, because I have the Death of Zorro number 3 RI negative cover, because as you know, Dynamic Forces want to publish tons of variant covers. And he asked me a really odd question, like, could you do a page count for me? Well, I happen to have 2 copies. I have one on the eBays, and by God, one of them has 16 pages, the other one, or 17. Which makes, what, 34 pages times 2? The other one had 18 pages. There is a 2-page misprint on some of the copies. So if you happen to pick yourself up a number 3, give it a quick page count. Make sure you've got the one that has 18 sheets for 36 pages on it. It doesn't read any different, but I found this out because I had this, and I kept counting the pages of the 2 copies, and then I said, you know what? I can't figure this shit out. I went page by page through each one and discovered, hey, the correct print has 2 extra pages in it. The misprint doesn't. Or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. But it's just something to watch out for. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about, Corey, tell us about Transmetropolitan.
Transmetropolitan actually started at a DC imprint called Helix, and was going to be their science fiction line, but it didn't really do very well, so they folded it into Vertigo. The highest-selling book was Transmetropolitan by Warren Ellis and Derek Robertson, and I think it lasted 60 issues with a couple of specials. It is the story of Spider Jerusalem, who is a journalist in the future, who digs up governmental corruption, and it's very well done. Derek Robertson's art is just phenomenal. I love everything he's ever drawn.
The title is taken from a rowdy song by the Irish rockers, the Porgies. So, it's one I'm excited about because I have not read it.
And it's Hunter S. Thompson in the future.
And I'm dying. There's 10 paperbacks. One deluxe set, but it came out, I think, in 2009. Oh, please, 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 omnibus this sumbitch, because I will be on it like Oprah on a canned ham. And that's pretty much on the eBays. Like I said, I've been putting things up, and I'm going to tug at the old heartstrings now. No, heck, I'll save it for freaking. But Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, if you let me know you're one of our vast array of listeners and you actually bought something, let me know and I'll put in something special, or I can't say ship it for free anymore because a lot of stuff is free, but I'll make it worth your while. We'll have some fun and maybe get you one of those brand new keys for the Strode compound, because you know
what?
I know Kurt changed his locks, but hey, you know, I'm Homeland Security. I know everything. Don't remember much. I just
man. Well,
now we get to... I do want to make one new segment.
Uh-oh.
In addendum or errata.
Okay.
And this is for a little section where if we omitted something from a previous podcast, or somebody sent in a note saying, hey, you got that wrong, which I imagine will probably be more often than not. But last podcast, I was talking about an actor who is known... He was on several characters in Star Trek. He played the alien bounty hunter on X-Files. He was Eddie Fiora on Kindred the Embraced. It was the actor Brian Earl Thompson. I just want to throw that out there because I'm trying this year to give credit where credit is due. And so if we fumble it and, you know, either the Strode 2112 or the Cray 3000 fails to give the proper answer, we'll follow it up in the following broadcast. So... if you see we made a mistake or just something, just let us know and we'll cover it. Because part of being a national treasure is being honest and
owning your mistakes.
That's true. And by God, I have yet to meet a creator's name whose name I can't just fumble mouth. Yeah, mumble mouth.
Joe, you apologize for a mistake you made. Do I have to apologize for a mistake I made?
Well, no, mine was more of a omission. Because we talked about it, and I couldn't think of the actor's name, and then I thought, you know what, that's been bugging me, so I will correct that. But if you got a confession, I mean, a mistake you want to cover, feel free.
No. I think everybody knows the mistakes I've made on this podcast.
That's true. You've been very honest with it.
Damn raccoons.
Corey Raccoon is not in the room. Oh, sorry. No more parodies.
And now... we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I ate an entire pizza while watching another wrestling event. It's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
I kind of was bitching about it earlier, but what? Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, what is wrong with an alphabet search on your freaking titles? Oh, nothing drives me crazier than let's go watch something on Netflix. Yeah, they got it, you know, divvied up real nice. Here's what's trending. Here's what's new. Here's what you've watched. Here's what you may be interested in. Here's drama, blah, blah. None of it is alphabetical. I just want one big ass alphabetical search so I can go down and just, hey, there's one I forgot about, or there's one I want. There's like a new syndrome in this. It's like Netflix syndrome, where you spend so much time searching through everything that you never watch anything. And that's pretty much how you spend your evening. I am putting my foot down, and I'll even put my pants up if you want. And
thank God.
I want that alphabet back. Okay, 2019. I've had enough. Mean Gene Okerlund, Super Dave Osborne, the captain from Captain and Tennille. Folks, as we record this, we're 3 days into 2009. We've lost, and I'm sure there's others. We're losing people too fast here. Just 2019, you're already way above 2018 just by the fact that you're 2019. Just stop. I didn't talk about it last time, but I was victim of a PayPal hack.
What?
Yeah, somewhere, and this was through Sonic restaurant chain, they got a hold of my debit card and bought two $50 cards via my debit card. And, of course, you know, here's me coming on to PayPal, and my balance is down by $100, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? And now I'm used to, you know, things popping up on the PayPals that I, like, ordered months ago that, you know, you get billed for when it ships. But this one, I'm like, I haven't eaten at Sonic in a long time. And PayPal, they took care of it, but, man, it was a pain in the ass trying to figure out, hey, I want to report these two as wrong. And finally, what ended up happening was I tried to do their online process, and it wasn't working. So finally, I just called the 800 number. And I got a really nice guy, and I forgot the name, but he took care of the information, verified a few things. They're still investigating it because Sonic has like 45 days to respond, but they did credit me the money back. So ideally, hopefully it's there and not 45 days from now. The next freaking will be, they took it back. Now I got to go get myself two $50 gift cards or else. Speaking of or else, as you probably know, those of you who want the news, we are still in a government shutdown. And of course, as I mentioned last podcast, I have no idea how I'm going to get back to work. We'll find out next podcast, because I figure rather than wait till the day I'm supposed to go back, which is on the 21st of January, I'll call my boss next week, my actual supervisor, and have her talk to the manager about, like, well, what paperwork do you need? Or can I just come in with a doctor's note that says, hey, he's okay to work part-time? So instead of doing full 10-hour days, we're doing 5-hour days and just doing LWOP in the meantime. That's leave without pay for you, those of you who follow government acronyms. In the meantime, you know, I'm doing eBay. I may have to give blood. It'll be extra sweet. I think the oxycodone's gone. And did you know you can sell your used printer ribbons rather than just dump them in the donation box? You're not going to get a lot for them, but you can. I don't know. Google it. On top of that, that's true. I don't. Well, wait a minute. Do I? Oh yeah, that's my scar from my hip. Never mind. I was interested in it. I forgot to record The Masked Singer. It's a new. It's a Fox reality show, and it just was so goofy that I thought it actually sounded like it'd be kind of fun. And when we get to geeking, I'm going to talk about a show where they were talking about it, and that's how I knew I missed it. But they actually showed who the Masked Singer was. And I guess what the deal is that they'll bring out the singer, and there's one per show that I know of. And then the celebrity contestants will sit there and try to guess who it is. And it sounds like they're pretty much on the ball because, and again, this is a spoiler warning for those of you who haven't watched the first show, but they were trying to guess, and they said, well, he's fairly tall, or this person's fairly tall. They sing well, but they don't sound like a professional. They're moving pretty good. They guessed it was a professional athlete, and it was, and I guess that's as far as I'm going to go with it because I don't want to really spoil it for people who care. This format apparently has been very popular around the world, and I've had a lot of people kind of like, I mentioned it, and they're like, yeah, I might watch that. So if you're getting people like me who really don't care about reality shows interested, this may be a hit, and it might be kind of fun to see who they come up with. Oh, if only Stan Lee was around, you know, he would be game to do this. Shatner would be a giveaway, though, wouldn't he? Anyways, also the producer of the show, or the exit, whoever the bigwigs are in charge of this, they actually said they do have an A-level celebrity that's going to be on the show. So it'll be kind of fun. I'm going to have to remember to record it. I did watch the season premiere of the, is it called The Orville? The Seth MacFarlane show, kind of his ode to Star Trek. For I guess there were some rumblings from Paramount that it was a little too close, but they're like, you know what? We got better things to do than this, Sue Fox. I was not overtly impressed. Again, I'm watching Deep Space Nine right now. So I guess it's kind of they're doing a sitcom in space. And the one I watched, it had, I don't know. The new one's recording even as we're recording this. So I'll give it another record. But I was not impressed with it. I was not able to find any of the first season for less than $3 an episode. So they had nothing out there to let me try it. But what I saw so far, I didn't like. I will give Seth some leeway and give it a couple tries. And, you know, because like I said, I've got a couple weeks till I got to go back to work. Or it may be one of those shows like we just put on the DVR and I'm going to have to erase because I'm running out of room. So. Other than that, that's pretty much it for freaking. Corey, what are you freaking on?
I only have two freakins. First is, Joe, what day is it today?
For us, it's Thursday.
And what month?
January.
So it's January, early January.
Yes.
I go to the gym. You know what it means when it's early January?
It's probably filled with a lot of people who haven't been to the gym in months, if not years.
Yes, so there's a wait line for everything. However, the gym I go to now is near my house, and it's a 24-hour gym. So I've learned if I wait till 8 o'clock, it's empty. Everybody goes right after work, so I'm just coming home, getting some stuff done, and then going to the gym at 8 o'clock. Because, oh man, I think yesterday I went right after work, so I got there a little after 6. I've got to wait on the treadmill. And there were people who were coming in. It's like, oh, man, I'm all ready to work out. And they do 10 minutes on the treadmill, and they're like, I'm done. I understand that, you know, and I applaud anybody who's trying to get into shape. But 10 minutes on the treadmill is not going to do a damn thing. Reduce the amount of reduce the speed and go for longer. Because if you're on the treadmill, you're basically, you know, you're trying to get your cardio. If after 10 minutes you're collapsing, bring it down from 5 miles an hour to 3 miles an hour. And, you know, it's not how fast you can go. It's not a race. But, you have to wait in line for everything. Work-wise, you realize for those of us who have, like, office jobs and stuff, there were 4 Mondays in the last 10 days. Because Christmas Eve, you go in. That's a Monday. You know, you're coming in after the weekend. Then the day after Christmas, well, you had Christmas off. So you're coming in after a day off. Feels like a Monday. Then, you know, the New Year's Eve was on a Monday. And then the day after New Year's Day, coming in after a day off. Feels like a Monday. And you had all the Monday problems of people who couldn't call the day before, so they're angry that you were closed. I had one person furious with us that we were closed on Christmas. I needed to get my medical card. Well, I have to be polite, but in my head I'm saying, you do realize that none of the insurance companies are going to be open on Christmas Day either, right? And it's the beginning of the year, so everybody's angry if they made any changes or mistakes or anything when they did their enrolling. So it's all our fault. And, you know, you'd think you'd go to your supervisors, you know, just wanting a little bit of sympathy and support when you go, man, people on the phone are just angry today, you know. And rather than, yep, I understand, which what we're supposed to do when somebody calls in and says, you know, something's wrong, I completely understand. Let me help you. Our supervisors are like, well, maybe you should da 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 da. Literally talking to us the way we're not allowed to talk to the people on the phone. Comic-wise, I am not freaking about anything. Stuff that's coming out this year looks really cool and fun. The new issue of Conan is out, and it's getting great reviews. I'm seeing more art from Savage Sword of Conan, and it looks great. We'll talk about some of the other stuff. But for the first time in a while, there's nothing in the comics industry that's making me freaking. There are comic fans, of course, who are complete turdballs, but the comics themselves are actually pretty cool. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Oh, I'm geeking on all sorts of stuff. Do you realize now that 2019 is when Zardoz takes place? So we're all getting ready for a fashion upgrade.
And
I can't wait.
And it's when Killraven took place.
It is. It was also, and this year we're going to get Stranger Things 3, which I guess if you're not busy on July 4th, that's when that'll premiere. Also, CW is picked up Batwoman for a pilot. So that was the one I was raving about last episode, and it looks really good. All they really need to do, and maybe they will with this crisis, if they could just jam all the DC TV universe into one. Instead of having to do like a Supergirl, okay, she's got to change universe to go visit, because it would be so fun to see Batwoman and Supergirl together again. I went to go see Aquaman, and utterly enjoyed it. Not everybody in my group did. My wife and my daughter both thought it reeked of bad 80 movies dialogue, and I was kind of trying to figure out why they would think that, other than the fact they're not comic fans. And of course, I'm not the biggest Aquaman fan.
No,
I guess
the biggest Aquaman fan. Okay.
Well, after this movie, you might want to be. I guess the thing is, when you go in to see Aquaman, look at it not so much as like a superhero movie, but more like a how would you say, like a King Arthur type themed movie. You know, because it's very much that type of thing. Generational things, the father kills the mother of the bastard child, and the one who would be king doesn't want to be king, and blah blah blah. But I enjoyed it. It's very beautiful. I did not have to hold my breath. I thought they were going to have like a surround sound where they filled the theater with water, but they didn't, thank God. Right afterwards, I went and cut open one of my Christmas gifts, the Justice League DVD, because if you remember way back Black Friday, I talked about all these DVDs I bought that I was given as a gift, and Justice League happened to be one of them because it was like $5 at Target. And it was okay, but if you're going to spend that much money on a movie like that, it's got to be more than just okay. And I think the biggest problem was, of course, is that if you don't know who these characters are, you're not going to have a lot of time having fun with them. I mean, we knew. Did Wonder Woman come out before Justice League or after?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I do remember one of my daughter's boyfriend saying after watching Aquaman, he understood a little bit more about Justice League. So I think the biggest problem with Justice League is that you put the Amish phrase to, you know, bug dags. You put the buggy before the horse.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's a fun movie. I think a comic fan get a hang of it. I'm a little still kind of upset if they're not going to let Ben Affleck be Batman. If you're not going to give him his own Batman movie, at least let him be Batman. I think that would be the most jarring thing if they ever come out with another Justice League, because all of a sudden, oh, we have a new Batman. Thank you. But, you know, being as it is, have you seen Aquaman yet, Corey?
No, I am actually going this weekend.
Okay, well, let's talk about it more in the next podcast, because I don't want to give away any spoilers. And like I said, the Justice League I thought was okay. But, you know, Wonder Woman was fantastic. Aquaman was awesome. So I really have high hopes for at least the extended DC universe. I'm excited to see Ant-Man Wasp is on Netflix, so I'll probably be talking about that next time. I don't know if Ant-Man is, because I've yet to see it, but I'm going to see Ant-Man Wasp anyways. Now, I didn't talk about it last time because I kind of was blathering on and on about all sorts of movies and stuff I watched as I was sitting feeling myself heal. But there was one show I did not cover. It's a local show called The Jason Show, which is on our Fox affiliate 9. And it's hosted by Jason Matheson. And he actually has his own Wikipedia page. I mean, you and I don't, but he does. And basically, he's a local host of Jason and Alex in the Morning, which is on MyTalk 107.1, a radio station. And then he has his own show. I remember ads for it back in 2015 that it was coming, it was coming. I only remember him doing movie reviews on Fox Morning News, or was it The Buzz? I don't know. It was one of his shows. But he's been working behind the scenes in television since like 1997. And this is kind of like the culmination of a dream. He's not only on radio, but he's got his own TV show. And if you want to give it a shot, you can go on to Hulu. I would recommend go on to his YouTube, The Jason Show, and you'll see him. He's smiling in the cover picture, but he's drinking out of one of his own mugs. The show is just brilliant. How I came across it was, I'd go to bed, I'd take my drugs, I'd slumber off and on through the night. Sometimes I started binging on Deep Space Nine till like 3, 4 in the morning, go to sleep, wake up usually about 9, and then I'd start fumbling through morning television. Most of it is kind of bland, newsy, talky. I thought, well, let's take a look at Price is Right, see what Drew's up to. And nah, Price is Right ain't for me. I flipped over through the Jason Show, and he was so energetic. He was so charismatic. He was just genuine. You know, just he kind of woke me out of my oxycodone days and engaged me. And I was kind of like, wow, this is kind of cool. And then I realized he was local, because he talked about local stuff like restaurants, like one of the ones, and I think, Corey, you probably know about it, up in the same area, I believe, where Pasta Mania was. They have what's the vegan restaurant? Earth Burger?
Yes.
And I've never been there, but it sounds awesome. So he covers things like that. He covers different events going on. The beginning of his thing, he has this thing called Hot Dish. And it started where like a hot dish comes out on the screen, and he kind of takes a scoop and scoops it up. And then he goes on and basically kind of talks about different things. What caught my attention that particular day was he actually showed parts of the Avenger upcoming trailer, which I did not even know hit. That's how fuzzed out on drugs I was. And it was like, oh, that woke me up. And he talked about it, and he's a geek. He knows his stuff. He knows his geek. Plus, he has something that you and I have had almost constantly, Corey, Skype trouble.
Ah.
Once on Monday, he talks to a guy. His name's Dix Holt. He runs a kind of a gossipy page. I call it gossipy. I guess it would be more like Hollywood Dish, hence the word hot dish. HollywoodPipeline.com. And so Jason, via Skype, connects with him, and they talk about some of the stuff that's going on. That's how I found out a lot about The Masked Singer. That's how I found out I missed The Masked Singer, because he was talking about it. And however, in the midst of one of their things, the picture froze and then disappeared. And you know what the problem with that was, Corey? They do the Jason Show live from 10 to 11 out in Golden Valley. You can get tickets for free. He always says you're in at 9:30, you're out at 11:15. And of course, he had to cover for live television. So that was just funny. He just rolled with it. I mean, this guy's been in TV for a long time. So it was just fun. So it's not just me. It's Jason as well. And he did something this show that I'm going to give him credit for, but I'm going to swipe. And Corey, I'm going to mention three movies that came out 20 years ago this year. And you probably feel old. The first one was Notting Hill. Not that I would care, because I think it was a Julia Roberts film.
Yeah, it was a romantic comedy.
Yeah, which I guess wasn't big. The other one was The Sixth Sense.
Yep.
20 years old. And of course, I for the longest time, I've not seen the movie. I tried to avoid the spiller for it, and then I believe I accidentally watched Siskel and Ebert were on some award show, and I think Ebert, he's the thin one, right? He hated the movie, so he gave away the surprise ending. Almost like Rosebud in the Peanut Strip. I was like, thanks a lot, Dilwad. He's dead now, so I guess it doesn't matter. But, and of course, there's been so many parodies now, and now I would go into it knowing he's dead and see all the obvious signs, where it'd been more fun to go in and not know that. But of course, the other big one that came out 20 years ago, The Phantom Menace. Now, Jason tells a story about, he's a big Star Wars geek, a film critic at WCCO where he was working at the time. Bill Day went to the New York screening of it. And when he came back, Jason was kind of in, he said, my childlike geek came forward. I was like, oh, it's a movie. And Bill looked at him and said, it's horrible. He's like, oh, you crushed my Jedi dreams. I remember going to it. I mean, we were hot for it because of Hot Comics was rolling. We were big Star Wars. We were all over the toys. We went to Toys R Us. The midnight they opened, got the certificate, got a set for everybody, which I promptly brought back to the store and sold. I do remember going to the movie. Corey, do you remember what you thought of the movie? And then I'll tell you my thoughts.
Well, there were a few things. I remember I was planning to go to the midnight show, but it sold out. Because I'd taken the next day off work, and I tried to get tickets, and it was sold out. And then I came home and went to the first morning show of it. And the woman I was dating got unbelievably mad at me because I got there so early, and it, you know, you were in line forever and everything. And she was like, you weren't home when I called. Yeah, I told you I was going to the Star Wars movie. No, you said that you would be home at thus and such time, and I called a half hour before, and I said, I also told you I'm going to the Star Wars movie. I'll probably be home late. Oh, I didn't hear the end of it. It was an hour of being yelled at. So whenever I think Phantom Menace, I think cool lightsaber battle, wondering, you know, okay, they've set a bunch of stuff up. Wow, Jar Jar Binks is annoying. And just being yelled at for an hour because I wasn't home when she called. you know another movie that came out 20 years ago, Joe?
What's that?
The Matrix.
Oh, really?
And, you know, I love that movie. I wish they would have put out sequels.
Real sequels. Well, Matrix 2 was okay.
There were no sequels.
And the animated buzz beforehand was pretty good. The animated Matrix?
There were no sequels.
In some ways, I wish The Phantom Menace wasn't a prequel, because the same thing when I watched it, I mean, I was all excited. I enjoyed the idea of seeing Jedis in their prime, because really when we first saw them, they were just not around and we just had old Jedis.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see that. But yeah, he got, you know, the Trade Federation, Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, good. We get a nice lecture on economics.
Although it was interesting at the end when the Emperor came out and was talking about Anakin. Ah, good job, young Anakin. We'll be keeping an eye on you. And the whole theater went, ooh. So, and again, it was kind of I started to think they're doing the Return of the Jedi, where they've got three different things going on at once. Three battles. The battle of outer space, the Jedi battle with Darth Maul, which is phenomenal, one of the best. I've read online about people who have seen these actual, I guess, fencing fights, and he said it ended the way most fencing fights end, just quick and sudden. You made a mistake, yep. And you're out. So for me, I would just take those scenes and put them in. I guess the fight in the palace was fine, too. It wasn't. And again, to be fair, it was probably the same criticisms that the Last Jedi and that are getting, the Force Awakens get now. Because we're thinking back to our 12-year-old selves, and it's like, oh, Phantom Menace wanted it. So take it for what you will. There'll probably be a sequel there somewhere. That's pretty much it. We a short time from the last time we did this podcast. I haven't read anything. I did get one thing in the mail that kind of neat. I mean, that I ordered. It was a Marvel Comics Avengers #1 gold ink signed by Rob Liefeld. And I picked it up from a place called Titan Comics through their eBay store, titancomics.com. And I don't know. I guess I just like it. I like having a thing that Rob Liefeld allegedly autographed. It does come with a wave with itty bitty print that I'm going to have to get a magnifying glass to see. And this, of course, was back when they took over. I'm going to have to check to see if there's any other comics like that, because I'm just curious. I've seen that other people had this sucker online for like $200, and I was like, he's selling it for $20. Okay, well, pick it up. Which means I'll probably throw it on eBay for $100. I'm that type of whore. What can I say? Corey, what are you geeking on? What's got you all excited, up in arms? Just want to shout to the world, I am a geek!
Marvel released the War of the Realms trailer.
Ooh.
And you're probably saying, I haven't heard of that movie. You're right, it's not a movie. It's a trailer for the big summer Thor crossover that Jason Aaron has been building toward since his first issue of Thor. He is wrapping it up with the War of the Nine Realms. Malekith, the elf, has consolidated power and is now looking to take over all nine realms. So we've got that.
Ten. Remember Heaven from Angela? That's the tenth realm.
Oh, okay.
But I think it didn't. Aren't they calling it the War of the Realms?
I guess. Yes, just War of the Realms. I am about to start two long journeys, Joe.
Corey's on a sentimental journey.
Well, yeah, they're kind of sentimental as well, although one, I haven't read most of the stuff. With all the omnibuses I have actually put together a run of my favorite timeline for DC.
Okay.
So I have started reading Infinite Crisis. And then, after that, I will read 52. Then after that, I will read Grant Morrison's Batman and Seven Soldiers, and then I will finish with Final Crisis, because that was my favorite era of DC Comics. There are other eras I enjoyed, but that was the last time when I was reading DC where I was really hyped for everything that came out, and I was excited about the new stuff they were doing, and I was really keyed in because they were using the history and adding to it. And I think that's been my problem since the new 52, where the history, they just kind of went, eh. Well, I'm invested in that history. I like that history. And then over on the Marvel side, I did not read this run, but I have picked up the three omnibuses.
Omnibi?
And the fact that this story takes three omnibuses is kind of frightening. Prelude toward the War of Kings, War of Kings, and the Aftermath of War of Kings, which was also kind of the end of the Abnett and Lanning cosmic run, which started with Annihilation and ends with the Thanos story. But, you know, it's got the X-Men and all this other stuff that ties into it. It's basically what was going on in the rest of the universe while Earth was dealing with the Civil War. I have read some of this stuff, but I have not read the entire, all the tie-ins and all of everything, and I was able to get the omnibuses over at our friends cheapgraphicnovels.com, pretty darn cheap, and I figured, you know, here's a great big long Marvel story that I've only read part of. So there's my winter reading comic-wise, other than, you know, the stuff that comes in Box Day and everything else. But I counted up, and the DC run is over 8,000 pages.
Well, now, on the plus side, those omnibus have a great R value, so you're protected from the winter cold.
Not only that, think about that, how they planned that story so far in advance, and it's that many pages of comics. And the War of Kings, the three omnibuses there, is like almost 5,000 pages.
Wow.
Yeah. When you start thinking about these big crossovers and these big events and the number of pages of comics, like if they were to put out a omnibus of all of the Civil War's tie-ins, that would probably have to be two omnibuses, because they had all those miniseries. Same with Secret Wars, because remember, they replaced every book Marvel put out with a miniseries. Just the sheer amount of pages done for these stories. When you start sitting back and thinking about it, it's just mind-boggling. We talked a little about the Target DC exclusive. I'm going to be looking for that. I don't think it's coming out till February because this, the creators just got their comp copies this week. But if, and they, DC hasn't released any information to the press yet, so I don't know if this is all new comics or if there's a short story and reprints or what. But I really like the Walmart book, so I'm excited about the Target book. And then there were two Image series that I started reading. One, only the first issue is out, and it's called Smooth Criminals.
Oh, based off the old Michael Jackson song.
No.
I'm going to be a smooth... No.
No. What it is, there's a kind of a nerdy programmer girl who screws up and is told to clean out the room with all the old equipment. In there, she finds a computer that she's never seen before. She starts working with it, and it unlocks a big kind of a capsule that has a jewel thief from the 60s frozen in it. Who, I can't tell if she has superpowers or she's just supposed to be a super spy. But they decide that they're going to team up and pull off the biggest heist in history that the jewel thief had been frozen for attempting. The second is also about freezing. It's called Outpost Zero. There was a preview of it in Walking Dead.
So sometimes those previews work.
They always work. You know, I can't think of any book that they had in the back of Walking Dead that I didn't at least try. This is set on a Earth colony. This colony does not know if there are any other colonies that survived. They crash-landed on a frozen planet and were able to create kind of a domed area where they could, you know, grow food and create oxygen. But a disaster, in the first issue, a disaster is coming. And they haven't had a disaster like this in a decade, where a storm is going to come and it's strong enough that it may destroy parts of the city. You know, it may destroy the dome. And the temperatures are so cold that you die almost instantly if exposed. And it focuses on the young people who really have no experience in any life other than this. And because this is their whole experience, you know, you remember when you were a teenager, you wanted to go and do things. You wanted to explore. You wanted to see what was out there. Well, these teenagers are like that too. And it deals with it kind of sets up the culture through their eyes. I've only read the first issue, and it's very good. It's by Sean McKeever, who's written a bunch of stuff over at Marvel. He kind of specializes in stories with teenagers, and this is another one that I really enjoy. So I'm going to be reading more Image first issues in the next few months. So I'm going to kind of report back on the ones I like. The ones I don't like, I'm not going to report on.
Yeah, I'll never hear from them again. We don't spend a lot of time with things we don't like.
Except for the freaking.
Yeah, well, yeah, usually it's more, oh, I'm disappointed.
Speaking of disappointment, I know that you're disappointed.
I will do want to cover one thing I mentioned earlier about this Avenger Super Signed from, and again, this is, was this Heroes? It was when they gave all the heroes to the Image Boys to play with.
Which so is you're getting talking, an omnibus.
I know. And this is the Avengers, Fantastic Four, Iron Man, and Captain America. Near as I can tell, the issues like I was talking about where they have the Marvel Comics certificate signed, they did for Fantastic Four, Iron Man, and Avengers. It doesn't look, at least according to Atomic Avenue, that they did that same thing for Captain America. Although there were more variant covers from Captain America. And a lot of them were like, there was a Wizard World exclusive. a couple different ones of that. There was a special Comic-Con edition, had no cover price, variant cover signed by Rob, but it doesn't look like, you know, the official gold one. And they're all pricey. So if you see them cheap, and if you care, they're on eBay's. Go for it.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us to blather on about comics for almost 2 hours.
Lucky you.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
If you got some music you want us to share with our audience, give us a quick buzz via the information way back in the commercial beginning of the show, and we'll share it with our friends here. We've got some stuff lined up, nothing prepared to go yet. So in the meantime, hit my music. Funk is on a roll.
Done, bitches!